The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Recently, we have had our attention drawn to the phrase, abiding in Jesus. In this teaching, I will provide a brief overview of this topic. There's no way we're going to even attempt to cover all the aspects in this one sermon, but it will be an overview. I have simply entitled it, Abiding in Jesus Christ. So let's read the words of Jesus as he described himself as the true vine. So go with me to John 15. John 15. So we'll go there and begin there. In John 15, in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now go down to verse 4. You can read all of those verses in between. And he says in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. We notice back in verse 1 that it says the Father is in charge because it states that he is the husbandman. Now, originally, I'm not going into the Greek and all of that, but the fact is, originally this word meant the master of the house. And so it's much more than what we tend to look at it as today as simply that of a farmer or a gardener. But it meant much more than that. So he was in charge. The Father was in charge. So from these verses that we're seeing here in John 15, we learn that abiding in Jesus is crucial for all who are believers. You see, Jesus said that if believers do not abide in him as being the true vine, then he very clearly says they're going to be cut off. And of course, in other words, the end will be their destruction. He also says that those who do abide and produce fruit will abide forever. So here's an either or. You know, he's only talking about believers because the rest of the world does not understand this. The rest of the world is not really able to even accept this at this time. So this is addressed to the church. And he says, if you produce fruit, you're going to abide forever. If you do, and if you abide in me, you're going to live forever. And if you don't, then you're not. You're going to be cut off. Now, go with me to 1 John chapter 2. With this in mind, go with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 John 2 and verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. So we see this is not just a limited teaching in the gospel that John is talking about. I realize 1 John was also written by John. But we understand, brethren, that it is God's will that we as believers who are abiding in Jesus Christ, bring forth fruit. Now, we recently gave a sermon, and I don't remember exactly what it was titled now, but God Wants Increase, talking about producing fruit. And all of this was to lead up to this particular teaching here. Let's go back to John 15. I should have told you to put a marker there. Go back to John 15, and now we're going to go down and read verse 16. John 15 and verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever you shall, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. It says you, it may give it you or give it to you. And so we're to be producing fruit. We are to be giving God an increase. And it's pretty straightforward. The only way we're going to be doing this is producing this kind of fruit is doing what? Abiding in Jesus Christ. The two things are synonymous. Two things are connected together. One has to happen so that the other one can happen. And brethren, for us to do that, we must know the Father's will. So what is the Father's will? These verses here in John 15 also tell us that even those branches that do abide must bear fruit, and they must accept the pruning that the husbandman or the Father is going to perform upon them. So we see that there's not just, okay, I believe in Jesus, therefore I'm abiding in him. No, it's much more than that. It's much more than that. We have to be abiding in him, we have to be producing fruit, and we have to accept the fact that the Father, as the husbandman, the master, the one really in charge, is going to prune us. So let's read verse 2. This is in John 15 in verse 2. We didn't read all of that earlier, but now we're going to read verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that, we could read in the word, that does bring forth fruit, he prunes it that it might or may bring forth more fruit. And so the pruning, which is really not what I'm going into today, I'm going into the subject over a broad overview of what it looks like to be abiding in Jesus Christ. But there's going to be pruning. There's going to be God is working with us. There's going to be trials, testing. Do we pass? What do we do whenever we come under different attacks from other things from the outside that God is allowing upon us? There's going to be pruning. He's going to see what's going to happen to us so that we will produce more fruit. So clearly we see that all true believers need to focus our attention on this subject, and we need to understand the foundational and vital components of this topic, abiding in Jesus Christ. So let's briefly here look at the word abide from a technical point of view. In other words, we're going to look into Hebrew and Greek words. And again, this is not of itself that important for us because we're not going to be scholars. We're not intending to be scholars. But it helps us. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew, there is one basic word for abide, and that is the word yashed. That's the way it would be pronounced, and I'll spell it for you. It's Y-A-S-H-A-B. Now, immaterial oven by itself, but there's one basic word that you can look up. There are others, but this is the one basic word. And so if you look up, there are dozens of verses in the Old Testament that will use the word abide or abides or abideth. It all comes from basically the same basic Hebrew word. And this word means to sit. remain or dwell. I want to read one of those many different verses. Let's go to Psalm 125 and verse 1. Psalm 125 and verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. We sang about Mount Zion a little bit ago. Beautiful. Sitting up on the hill. And of course, he could be talking about Jerusalem. But primarily it is referring to the church of God, the body of Jesus Christ. And so it says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. Isn't that an awesome statement that he's making here? That cannot be removed, but abides in, or they sit, they remain, and they dwell forever. It cannot be removed from God, is what it is saying. What are they doing? They're abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you really are truly, this is what the Old Testament concept is telling us, if we truly are abiding in Jesus Christ, you cannot, you will not be removed forever. It's a beautiful picture. Verse 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, and there are many mountains round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. He is abiding around us. This is what this is saying. He is around us. He is sitting. He dwells. He waits. He is there around us. The body of Jesus Christ, Mount Zion, the church of God. Then we go to the New Testament, Greek. There is, again, one basic word of really special importance, and that is the Greek word meno, M-E-N-O. It is simply a basic word that means to stay or to remain. Now, so what we see here is, and we notice, is that both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the basic word that is translated as abide in various variations of that one word, it has the same sense of meaning. We're going to stay there. We're going to be right there. So to be abiding in Jesus Christ, that's where we're going to be. And when you really think about it, where else would we want to be? Nowhere. Nowhere. It's just, if you're really a believer, this is the only place that we would want to be. We would want to be abiding in Jesus Christ and his abiding around us. Now I want to look more into the Greek, not necessarily the Old Testament Hebrew, but I want to focus a little on the Greek. Sometimes this Greek word appears with different prefixes. However, what we also need to understand is they are all really meaning the same thing. If you put whatever the prefixes that you may find to this word, to the Greek word meno, they all basically mean the same thing. And they all come from one root word, and that is the word mono. M-O-N-O. Now, do you know what the word mono means? Of course we do. It means one. It's the same concept that there's this husband and wife. And I'm not saying the church and Jesus Christ is the same as like a marriage, even though the wife has made herself ready. But I'm saying it's like a husband and wife. And it says, and they shall become mono, or they shall become one. They dwell, they sit, they stay. They're together. They are abiding together forever. And it's the same principle. We abide in Jesus Christ forever. And this is what both the Hebrew Old Testament, and you can read all of those verses, and this is the same thing that we see in the New Testament in the Greek. That we're going to be abiding with Jesus forever. We're going to be staying right there. When you really get down to it and really explain it more and more, this Greek word can be used as part of explaining where a person lives as well as how a person lives. Now, I don't want to go into that any further, but I think that we can just think about it. We're abiding where is with Jesus Christ. And how are we abiding? We're abiding in Him. So it's the concept is there. And it's very, very clear if we look at Hebrew and Greek with its usages of the word. Let me illustrate it this way for an illustration. We've probably heard, or most of us have probably heard, people say something like, you must abide by the house rules. I mean, you may not ever use that phrase, but I know that you could understand. You have to abide by the house rules. So for us, the rules we abide by, the rules that we abide by are what are found in the Word of God. I mean, in fact, you go to Matthew chapter 4, we are told that we're to live by every word of God. And so this principle is we're to be abiding by these rules, and he makes it very plain. Is this where Jesus, Matthew 4, 4, Luke 4, 4, same place? Same concept, same teaching. But he answered and said, it is written, and this is written, he's quoting from Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. Both Old Testament and New Testament, again, are coinciding and meaning and using the same phrases here. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now, that's a concept that we actually saw back on the Feast of Trumpets and what that is talking about. Can waste away, cannot waste away. That's, in essence, what it is showing. It says, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And so it's real plain. It's real plain here. Part of this abiding in Jesus Christ is we're going to be living by every word of God. Whatever God has said, that's what we believe. That's what we're going to be attempting to do. Are we going to make mistakes? Of course we're going to make mistakes. Why? Because we're still human beings. But that's the concept. Abiding in Jesus Christ is the Father is going to prune us so that we'll have more fruits. Have more fruit. We also see the concept of we're going to be abiding, living by every word of God. By doing that, we're going to be abiding forever. Abiding in Jesus Christ is what it would basically be talking about in the context of this teaching. In modern terms, we might say something like abide means we are inseparable from Jesus. And that would be actually a good concept because it would go along with the sense of the meaning of the Hebrew and the Greek words. And it's obviously going to be meaning that we're living by God's rules. That's the Word of God. True believers and true disciples of Jesus Christ can, brethren, also have complete and total confidence that it is God's will that we never, never be separated from Him or from Jesus Christ. Why would they ever want us to be anywhere else? And to step back and look at it from our point of view, why would we ever want to be anywhere else but connected to them forever? And so it's this desire, this is this attitude, and so we put forth efforts to live by every word of God, demonstrating, showing that this is what we want. This is where we want to be. Jesus and our Heavenly Father will not cut us off, or they will not ignore us, or refuse to strengthen us and to guide us without some righteous cause. It would be because of some horrible things that we have done. More like we've rejected them. And that's not really a concept that we really would even want to think about, because why would we even want to think about how can we be totally cut off from God? We wouldn't even want to entertain that. But they will never. That is the point. This is what this concept of this teaching, abiding in Jesus Christ, is telling us. They are never going to do anything to separate us from them. As long as we have this heart and this attitude that we want to be there, we want to be connected with them, we want to live by every word of God. What else would we want to live by? Because the only other words are the words of the devil. Because it's either God's words or it's everything else. And everything else is connected to the world, which is connected to the devil. You see, God's purpose is to give us life. That's what He wants. He wants to give us life. And He wants to give us life forever, abiding in Him and abiding in Jesus Christ. John 3:16. You know this verse. You know this verse. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the ultimate, in one sense, from God's purpose for mankind, explaining abiding in Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ so that man could live forever abiding in Jesus Christ. It's all part of this concept. Now, we don't think about it. We've never really thought about it or taught about it in that particular way, but this is exactly what it is. Now, with that in mind, go with me to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, what is the purpose of all of that? To be in God the Father, to be in Jesus Christ, abiding in Jesus forever. Because what we see, brethren, is they, Father and Son, they fully intend for us to be at one with them forever. A little play on words there. Anticipating coming of atonement, which is a play on words. But that's what they want to do. They desire complete joining us, or us to them, really. Because they're not joining with us, we're joining with them. I mean, it could be either way, but I think you understand what I'm saying. These are bullets. They desire complete joining with us, or we with them. Complete joining now and forever. It's what they want. Is that what we want? You see, God's made it very plain. He sent Jesus Christ down to die for the sins of mankind so that all mankind can be joined to God the Father and with Jesus Christ. Comes under the topic that you use at various times of abiding. It's very plain. That's what they want. Is that what we want? And of course, the answer is, of course, is what we want. We might not have ever considered the topic, but this is what we obviously want. Paul the Apostle offers an appropriate question in the book of Romans in chapter 8. He asks, who can separate us from God's love? Which, when you really think about it, is of course is a manifestation of God's great plan of salvation for all of mankind. Now, today it's for the church of God. It's for true believers. But the whole purpose of it is to extend it on out through the rest of the holy days for all of mankind. And this context of Romans chapter 8 shows the price that they have already paid. That they have already paid to make our oneness with them a reality. Go to Romans 8 and verse 35. Romans 8 and verse 35. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he gives a list of things. Can this do it? Can this do it? Can this do it? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, and he is quoting back from Psalm 44 and verse 22, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And now verse 37, he stopped the quoting there. And he says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He says, no, those things are not going to separate us from the love of God. No, this is can't do it. And we're not going to allow it to do it because we are abiding with Jesus Christ. He doesn't use this word abiding, but that's what he's saying. That's the sense of what he's talking about. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither we die or we live, neither one, death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Another way of actually stating this is none of these things because we are in the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. Because we're abiding there. And we're going to abide there forever. Now, I have another list of points here. Things for us to consider and to think about. Let's never forget Jesus is the source of our life. Let's never forget Jesus is the sustainer of our life. And because of this, let's never forget through Jesus Christ and by God's Spirit, we are given power to live and to produce the abundance of fruit that God desires and wants us to produce. It can't be done unless we're abiding in Jesus Christ. That's the concept. That's what we're seeing. So, yes, we can have complete confidence that God will do his part. Now, we understand, although God's part is by far the greatest part, our part is still necessary. So we ask, what is our part? Well, for one thing, we must be Jesus' dedicated true disciples. And there's a whole teaching on that. I'm not really going into that oven by itself today, but that's obviously where it is. So we also need to ask, how can we know that this is true for us? That we have to be his dedicated true disciples. Is that really necessary? How do we know? And how do we know that it's true for us? Brethren, diligently probing, looking into, studying the scriptures on a regular basis. In other words, abiding in God's word. Because if you only do this occasionally, you're not living there. You're just visiting it. It has to be an active part of our life to really show to God the Father and Jesus Christ that we want to abide in him. One of the ways is we abide in the word. We live in it. We dig into it. How can we use the word of God in this point in my life, in this situation? And it's there. And doing that is a clear sign that we are Jesus' true disciples. You're going to say, why would you go so far as to saying that? Go with me to John 8:31. John 8:31. Then said Jesus, not my words, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Oh, it's actually a Bible teaching. It's not just something I made up. It's actually what God says. Jesus Christ stated this, told those people who believed him. If you continue in my word, if you are abiding in the word of God, then you are my disciples. There are other concepts that are taught in Scripture. If you have love one for another, then everybody else will know that you are my disciples. But he's saying, you are my disciples if you abide in my word. Another clear sign of being a true disciple of Jesus is that we never, never, never defect. We never run away. We live there forever. We live there in the word of God. We stay there with Jesus Christ. Yeah, times are going to get rough. Times are going to get hard. We still stay. We never defect. That's another way of saying that we are abiding. That is, those who are not abiding will not continue with us. Again, I can show you that in Scripture. 1 John 2:19. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us. So this is not talking about the world. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest or be made known that they were not all of us. In other words, they defected. They were there. This is not like the world. The world's not defecting. They've never been called. They're not in this opportunity. They're not giving what we are being given today. These are people who were there, given it, and then they defected. They left. For whatever reason, going back to Paul's words, what is going to separate us? And he came to the conclusion, nothing. And then here John is showing, well, if they left, it really just shows they never really were of us. They were not really abiding in Jesus Christ. Luke 9 and verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. They're not really of us, is what we're seeing. They didn't really, really want to abide in Jesus Christ or to continue in His Word. I have another list of points to consider. True disciples will never deny Jesus as the Christ. True disciples will never let God's truth slip away from them. True disciples will abide in God's word. And one more here. True disciples will never look back, because they know where they want to be. They want to be abiding in Jesus Christ. They want to be living by every word of God, abiding in the Word. So, what are some other characteristics of abiding in Jesus Christ? Well, they are scattered throughout the Scriptures. And again, I told you this is a brief overview of the topic, so we're obviously not even going to attempt to cover everything, broad overview, only some highlights. The Apostle John uses the word most frequently in Scripture. However, the Bible gives us a coherent and united picture of how to abide. So I want to go back to the Old Testament for a passage. Go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Amos 3 and verse 3. And it asks a question. Amos 3 and verse 3. Many of you will know this. We'll have it committed to memory. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Depending on the subject and the level of disagreement, walking together without agreement could be or would be tough or even impossible. So I ask, if walking together takes agreement, how much agreement must we have with Jesus to abide with Him? How much can we disagree with Jesus Christ and still be abiding with Him? If the whole of truth is pictured on a scale of 10, could it be 4? How about 6? How about 1? Brethren, what we need to understand is, in its simplest terms, there is absolutely no place for disagreeing with Jesus Christ or our Heavenly Father. The answer is zero. None. He's in charge. He, Father or Son, whichever one you want to refer to as the He there. They're in charge. They're always in charge. They're always right. They're always good. And they only have our best interest in mind. They are God, and they want us to become part of their family. And we're going to disagree with how they want us to live this way of life. And we think, well, He's God, so He's going to still bring us into His family. Really? Is that really where our thinking is? I hope not. I don't think so. We must know that what God says is right and is good and We must believe it and we must agree with it even before we may even know all the details about what it is. Boy, that's all one-sided. Yeah, he gets to make the rules. To put it in that sense, it's his house. It's his rules. You must abide by the house rules. Psalm 119 in verse 128. You thought I was just making this up. 119 in verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Lord, you are right in whatever you decree, and whatever it is, that's what I believe. That's true. He's not saying, I understand all of it. He is agreeing and saying, I agree with it, whatever it is, that's right. And as soon as I know what it is, I'll be living that way of life. That's the attitude. Even before you completely understand everything about it. And I've had people to say, well, as soon as you prove this to me, I really think that the Sabbath probably is on Saturday, and as soon as it's proven to me, I'll start keeping it. I've told people, I have said, you will never keep it. You have to obey first. You have to start doing, because you've already stated that, yeah, I think it probably is. And as soon as I've really proven it, then I'm going to start doing it. You'll never prove it. You have to accept it because it's right. Whatever right is. And right is whatever God says. And then you determine the attitude of, that's what I'm going to do. Psalm 111 and verse 10 shows that. So as we abide with our Savior, we will agree with Him. And we will become more and more like Him. Because the more you get to know somebody, the more you're wanting to be just like them. In this sense, whenever you're thinking about God. He is our example. And by God's power in us, we will put forth all the effort and self-discipline that is required to joyfully follow His example. God's Word, the Bible, provides another way that we can evaluate our abiding in Jesus Christ. There are several. Like I said, this is a broad overview. When Jesus is abiding in us and we are fellowshipping with God in a very close and a very intimate way, that's how we can do that. John tells us, I'm not reading the verse, John tells us that our fellowship truly is with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Because we have that desire to do so. Because we want to be there. We don't want to be someplace else. We don't want to be thinking that something else may be correct. God is right, whatever it is, and that's what I believe, and that's what I'm going to do. May not even know exactly what all it is yet, but whatever it is, that's what I'm going to do. I know that probably many of us, before coming into the church, we probably have talked to God in prayer and said, if you will just show me what is right, that's what I'm going to do. I remember praying that as a child and asking Him to show me what is right. And so I started doing all of the study, and the first thing that He actually showed me was Saturday as a Sabbath. It took about 10 minutes of actually showing it to me. And then I said, that's what I'm going to do. Now, I'm just saying, this is what we've all come to. Now, some of us may have taken longer or whatever, but I'm just saying, we came to that determination because He's God, and He obviously knows what is right, and whatever He shows me, that's what I'm going to do. We didn't understand. In fact, for example, I didn't know to start with that the Sabbath started on Friday night. I went out and played ball on Friday night. But I would have died for the Sabbath being Saturday, the day portion of Sabbath, because that's all I knew. I wasn't connected to a church. I believed it because this is what he was showing me. That's what he's wanting. That's how he does it. And I'm not telling you that to show you, you know, that I've got the right example. I'm just showing you this was my personal experience. We all could give our own testimony. And we're told that we are to have a testimony. And this is how Jesus dealt with me. And we have to respond. He's right, whatever it is. This is what I'm talking about. In John 1, God gives us very definitive features of how to abide and what abiding looks like. He also describes those who just claim to be abiding but are really liars. Now that's more so over in 1 John. So let's go over to 1 John. We're going to come back in a minute and read some verses in John, but I want to go here first. Go to 1 John 1 and verse 5, where he tells us, 1 John 1 and verse 5, that this then is the message what we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, we'll see about liars in a moment and further on. Brethren, here's the point. There is only one light in God. And there needs to be that same light within us. Light represents what is truth, what is right. There's only one truth. There's only one right. And that's what God has declared. And that same light needs to be in us. Jesus is the light of the world. And John wrote about it back in John chapter 1, and you can see this on your own, verses 4 through 9. When we abide in him, when we fellowship with him, when we are inseparable from him, there must be no darkness in us, which is another description of sin or evil. Years ago, the Apostle John was addressing the perverted teachings that were trying to creep into the Church of God at that time. Deceivers were trying to do away with God's law. And therefore, as a result, they were trying to redirect God's people into another way of life, calling it God's way of life. And they were wrong. They were wrong in what they were trying to do, and John is pointing that out. Not only were they at odds with God's commandments, they were fighting among themselves and justifying their actions. Does that sound familiar to anything that has happened even within the Church of God? It does to me. And yet, what I want us to understand is God's Spirit will guide us through his word so that we will come to the place that we will recognize what is harmonious with God and what is not. That's where we find out what is right and what is wrong. It's not by just because I'm telling you this doesn't make it true. Just because someone else is telling you something is true doesn't of itself make it true. It's what the Word of God says. That's where you have to go. That's where you have to run everything through the Word of God. Is it truth, yes or no? Abiding in Jesus Christ requires that we grow and produce righteous fruit. And all of this requires some diligent thought. study, prayer, coupled with fasting, meditating on it, coming back to the Word, studying, praying, asking God to show us. I have another list of a few points, bullets to consider. It requires, recognizes Jesus' voice and having God's light shine on the truth. It requires distinguishing His words. When you really get down to it, there's only one voice that we're to be listening to. It's the voice of Jesus Christ, and i.e. that would obviously be including the word, the voice of God. Because Jesus said, I didn't come speaking my words, I only spoke the words of the Father. So we have to distinguish, what voices are we listening to? Is what is being stated to you, is it out of the Word of God? It's either yes or no. It requires recognizing evil, deliberately refusing the darkness, and embracing God's way of light and truth. It requires our conforming to God's standard, not our own, and not that of the world. It requires God's power to love others. In 1 John 2, if you go with me to 1 John 2, in verse 9, 1 John 2 and verse 9, he that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 11, but he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. In other words, this is somebody who's not abiding in Jesus Christ. This is what it is saying. In verse 15, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 3 and verse 15. 1 John 3, verse 15, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. First John 4, verse 20. If a man says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. I told you we'd get to this verse. He is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So, we see, brethren, Here is the point. Abiding in Jesus requires that this same love of the Father be also abiding in us. To put it as simply as I think that I can, we cannot hate our brothers. There is no room for it in Jesus' body. I want us to all realize that abiding in Jesus involves dwelling in peace with others whom God has placed in His church in the body of Jesus Christ. So, if we find that we are not abiding peacefully, agreeably, harmoniously with God's other brothers and other begotten children, then we need to let each one of us ask ourselves, is there any place for discord for anyone who wants to abide? Is there any place for it? And of course the answer is, of course not. Of course not. And of course, there is much more to the lessons involved in abiding in Jesus Christ. However, as I said, this is a small overview, basic overview of the topic. Much more. So, allow me to summarize. I want to summarize it with bullets. If we had a green screen, we could flash them one at a time up there, but maybe at another time. Let's continue to abide in Jesus Christ, never disagreeing with Him and never causing discord among the brethren. Like I said, there is no place. Let's continue to abide in God's Word. Let's diligently seek to know and to do God's will, so there will be much fruit and He will be glorified. Let's continue to realize who it is that desires for us to abide with them forever. And I have one more in this summation. Let's never forget the price God paid for His invitation for us to abide in His family forever. Let's abide in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of you, brethren, as we seek to abide in Jesus Christ. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.